coming off of, Carly and I were just over in Tacoma for 3 days at a relationship conference over at Champion Center at Mesh. And any one of you guys, they do it each year in February, usually the week after Valentine's Day. Any one of you who can get over there for that, I highly, highly, highly recommend it. We got to see a lot of our friends. We got to hear from PK and Sheila. And then Thursday night, we just got to sit as pastors Levi and Jenny Lusco. Just they team taught one session and they preached about marriage, and then Pastor Levi got up and just obliterated it. Their message, I have recently learned that you can find their message on their website at Fresh Life Church. It's called To the Brim. And I highly recommend that any of you who are married, you go find that sermon. It's called To the Brim. And it is one of the most brilliant sermons on marriage that I've ever heard in my entire life. Even if you're single, go find that message. It's called To the Brim, and listen to it, because it applies to so many different areas of our lives. But it's brilliant. But before I jump into my sermon today, and I'm just going to, full disclosure, coming off of like 3 days worth of relationship teaching, I don't know how much of this is my own material and how much is stuff that I just picked off from different things. So I'm just going to give you that disclosure right up front. But Pastor Levi, he said something. Let me say this to the single people in the room. He said something before he started preaching that I thought was incredible. And he was talking about being planted in the house of God. Where are the single people at in the room? Look at that single people up in this church. He said this. Ooh. Don't play the field, harvest it. And this is an intense thought. Because something we talked about last week, for you to be single, the best thing that you could do in your life, if you're desiring a spouse, if you're desiring someone to do life with, I believe the best thing that you could do is to throw yourself fully into building the kingdom of God. You serve your guts out. You pursue God as hard and as fast as you can. And if somebody keeps up with you, then you turn and introduce yourself. We said that last week. But here's the thing. Is that I believe this, that if you just focus your life on harvesting, the field is white for harvest, is what Scripture tells us. Jesus says this. There is harvest all around us. And you will find people, single women in the church, if you're looking for a godly man, listen, you're not going to find him at the club. Chances are high. The chances of finding him there are much lower than they are in this room. Young or single men, those if you're looking for a godly woman, the chances of finding her in a club or on the internet somewhere are much lower than they are to find her in the house of God. Listen, you pursue God as hard as you can. And instead of playing the field and trying to figure out and moving all these parts and texting all these people, just start harvesting the field, because there's going to be somebody who comes up beside you. There's going to be somebody else who is just as passionate about building the kingdom of God. And you're going to turn and you're going to see them. And let me say this to the women in the church, the single women. I can say this about my wife. There is nothing more attractive than a woman who loves Jesus with everything inside of her. Carly loves Jesus more than anybody that I know. Her relationship with him is incredible, and it is inspiring. Let me tell you, you're going to find that, single men and single women, you're going to find that in the church. Don't play the field, harvest it. That's not in my message. I need to get in the habit of doing this, because our online replays are shooting through the roof. We have a group of people in, I think it's Japan, like a group of 12 people in Japan who listen to our sermons every single Sunday. So, hey, Japan, we see you. It's really cool. You can check the stats online. We got people in Greece. I mean, people all over Europe. It's crazy how that South America, India, we got people in Africa, a group of people in Kenya. I don't know where they find it. They must, you know, find somewhere that has some stable internet, because where we're at, there's nothing. But to all of you who are joining us online, you can't see me, but thank you so much for joining us. All over the world, God is using this church. Praise God. We started a series last week called The One. We're going to finish it up today. Next Sunday is Vision Weekend, so make sure you're here. We got baptisms. It's going to be off the charts. But I got a message for you today entitled One-Legged Starfish. Taking notes, write that down. One-legged starfish. I promise it's going to make sense. What I hope to do today is to be able to unpack some thoughts from our text in Colossians chapter 3. Specifically, this will really, I pray, encourage and minister to the hearts of those of you in the room who are married. But those of you in the room who are not married, this is not permission to check out. Because I believe that these, the way we're going to talk about today, interacting in our relationships, healthy interactions. Pray that this message transcends just marriage, but it can apply to the dynamics in your workplace. It can apply to the dynamics in your family life outside of your marital relationship. Because I believe this, that we need a church full of marriages that are thriving. There are far too many marriages, and there are far too many marriages in the church that are merely surviving. There are far too many people. You may be here in this room, and this may be your story, that right now you're just hanging on. You're hanging on for a particular event. You're hanging on for the kids to graduate high school. You're hanging on for another milestone in life. But let me tell you, I have been praying for you all week long, that no matter where you find yourself in your marriage and in your relationship, that God can do a miracle in your heart this morning. Miracles can happen now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around us. There is story after story. I could specifically point to people in this room where I know that God has done a miracle in your marriage, and you would not be where you are today without the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And that is available for you here this morning. I think we need to fight for our marriages. Those of you who are single in the room, you are not off limits and you are not off the hook for praying for the marriages in this church. It is for you to be on your knees praying and fighting for the marriages that exist in this place. Fighting for your future marriage. For those of you who desire to be married at some point, praying ahead of time for that already. From the time I was a kid, I prayed for my wife nearly every night. Father, I don't know where she is, but I pray that you continue to bless her endeavors. You prosper everything she sets her hand to do. You protect her and you keep her safe. I said those words almost every night. Maybe a teenager sitting in this room, it is not too early for you to be praying for your future spouse. It is not too early for you to be praying for your future kids. Carly and I were in Tacoma this week, and actually the same week last week we were there, and we were eating at this restaurant down on the Tacoma waterfront called The Ram. And as we were walking along, there's all kinds of marine life, and if you know anything about Carly, she's obsessed with animals, and so she goes, I just want to see some marine life. And I'm like, yeah, we're in Tacoma. Like this, I mean, we're not like at the aquarium or anything. We're just walking on the water. Like some narwhal is going to pop up and be like, hey, Carly, and then just like keep swimming away. But I was reading this article, and maybe you're aware of this, but there's this, starfish up and down the West Coast are dying. It's weird. Like, scientists are trying to figure out what's going on. And they're getting this disease, and it's turning them into mush. And they just, like, dissolve away into the water like jelly. Scientists are trying to figure out what's going on because starfish are an important part of the ecosystem. If the starfish go away, it's like bees dying at incredible rates all over the world. It's crazy. Like if the bees go, hey, find a rocket ship to Mars or something. But these starfish, they're melting. And there's this, they've started to be able to identify that there is some new invasive bacteria that has been introduced into the water up and down the West Coast. So literally the things that these starfish are gathering their nutrients from, which is the water, these things that they're filtering, the thing that they're surrounded in that they can't get out of, they need to be in it to survive, that is poisoning them. They started to see this weird phenomena occurring that, and this is weird, that the starfish, when it senses that it's sick, because they're obviously trying to survive, when it senses that it's caught this sickness, one of the arms will literally tear itself off and squiggle away, like a healthy arm that doesn't have the bacteria. Will literally, this is crazy, look it up, I'm not lying, will tear itself off from the rest of the starfish and will wiggle away and make its way away trying to survive, because if it's not connected to the body, then the chances of its survival are much higher. So you just get these one-legged starfish in the water all up and down the West Coast. Why do I bring that up? Because I believe that the culture that we're in, the world that we're in, the things that we are taking in each day, the nutrients that we are taking in, if we are not careful, friends, these are poison to your marriage. Scripture is very clear, and it is very encouraging. Maybe some of you are sitting here and you feel the poison in a part of your relationship. You felt it start to creep in. You know, like Chipotle had to shut down forever because it was like, was it E. coli in the chicken? You realize that if one little piece of that chicken is infected with E. coli, and anything it touches is at high risk for then having that. When our marriages, when the core relationship in our life, when the thing that we are dedicated to most in our life starts to get poison in it, it trickles into the other areas of our lives. I cannot overstate the importance of having healthy relationships in our lives. None of you sitting in this room who are married started out saying, man, I can't wait for the day when my marriage gets a little poison in it. Yay! But how easily, because of everything that we're surrounded by, just like the starfish, the water, the thing that is surrounded in, the culture that you're interacting with, the things that you are taking in. This is not a sermon where I'm standing up here saying, cancel your cable and get rid of your cell phones and close your social media because it's bad for you. What I'm saying is that if you are not careful and if you don't have parameters in place, it can poison the relationships in your life. And it just takes a little bit of poison. Takes a little bit of poison to make that the whole starfish toxic. And it just takes a little bit of poison to make that marriage relationship toxic. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died. Say this, say, I am dead. Come on, say it again, I am dead. You're all a bunch of zombies. For you have died, and your new life, your real life, the real you, is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, hello. The real you, you're dead. You are dead. The real you, the spiritual part of you, as soon as you make Jesus Lord of your life is now hidden. You, this is dead, but you, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Thank God for that. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I've identified three areas where it's very easy for your relationships to become toxic. Three areas that if you're sitting in this room, I pray that something that's communicated today encourages your heart. Something convicts you. I'm praying that people get convicted in here this morning. I'm praying that you would open your hearts to see and to say, God, I desperately want a thriving marriage. I don't just want a marriage that is hanging on. I don't want a marriage. I don't want to share bills with my roommate who I happen to have a legal contract with. But I know that there are some people in this room this morning who desire for your marriages to thrive. Maybe your marriage already is thriving, but it could always be better. And I believe that if you would apply some of these, that we can pull from Colossians chapter 3. That we can have the kind of marriages that would be envied in this church. That your marriage would be envied at your workplace. It would be married or envied in your family. The first area that can become toxic is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Toxic teamwork. You're a team, yo. We have probably like, I don't know, maybe 10 couples or so in here who have gone through premarital counseling at this church. One of the things we talk about is how you are a team and how easy it is to forget that you are a team and that you are working together toward the same end. How easy it is in conflict to take a side instead of realizing that you're both on the same side fighting sin. That is the sin nature that is inside of you that is causing you to react that way. And rather than pairing up and being on the team and fighting that sin together in prayer, it becomes so easy to start taking it out on the other person because we forget who the real enemy is. Your spouse is not your enemy. Sometimes your spouse acts a fool. I know. They're crazy sometimes. Probably true. But guess what? You're just as crazy, just as much, if not more. Toxic teamwork. Here's what toxic teamwork says. Toxic teamwork looks like this. If you do, then I will. If you do such and such, then I will do this. And it becomes a tit for tat type thing. Toxic teamwork. You cannot have any kind of healthy team that operates in that manner. Toxic teamwork says this. If you do, I will. That's the poison that starts to slip into the starfish. That's the bacteria that gets in, is this if you do, then I will mentality. You know how easy it is to get stuck in that. Come on, tell the truth. You know how easy it is. But that is bacteria that seeps in and can so quickly become toxic. If you're always looking to your spouse to make the first move, well, if you would just do this, if you would get it together, if you would stop talking this way, then I would. If you would stop storming out, then I will. Toxic teamwork says, if you do, then I will. I'm going to give you three toxic things and then three tearaways, because I'm praying that we tear away. We get some one-legged starfish up here and we leave the poison in the dust so we can have some healthy marriages. Toxic teamwork says, if you do, then I will. Here's your tearaway. Because he did, I will. Isn't this what Colossians chapter 3 says? So maybe you're sitting in the place where your relationship has this kind of dynamic. If she'll do it, then I will. Or if he will start doing it, then I will. Whereas here's the tearaway to help you keep healthy is this. Because Jesus did, I will. Because Jesus went to the cross. Because Jesus saved me. Because Jesus made me new. Because he made me whole. Because he clothed me in righteousness. Because he washed me and made me new. Because he did, I will. That's what Colossians 3 says. He says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Toxic teamwork is a very earthly mindset. You find it in your workplaces. Maybe your parents' relationship that you watched when you were growing up was this way. But I want you to get this into your heart. Because our natural reaction is, if they will, then I will. And if you could just get this in your heart and let this sink in, because Jesus did, I will. I heard it said this way. I heard a story. A guy and his wife got into a fight. I think I've told this story from the pulpit before a long time ago, but his guy and his wife got into an argument. Normally, he set out all of their pills that it'd take each morning. He would set it out at night before they went to bed. So they had a particularly, like, intense disagreement. So she goes to bed, and, you know, he's brushing his teeth. He's about ready to set their pills out, and he's like, forget it. She can do it. She can do it herself. Just angry. And he said he heard the voice of God say to him, if you won't do it for her, do it for me. What if we took that posture in our relationships? What if you took that posture at your workplace? You know what? Everything in me wants to not fill this stupid thing with pills right now. Everything in me wants to turn and slam this door and walk out. Everything in me wants to get in my car and go for a drive. Everything in me wants to react poorly. But what if we took this posture that it's not this toxic teamwork, if they will, then I will, but it's because he did, I will. You know, I don't really want to do it for you right now, but I'm going to do it for Jesus. Even though I don't feel like doing it, do you realize that your actions don't have to be based on how you feel? no rule that says if you're feeling poor that you have to react poorly. What if you just in your interaction, you said, you know, even in your heart, you're going, they don't deserve this. They have not done anything to earn this from me. They have not even been nice to me in a week. I don't feel like doing it for them, but God, I'm going to do it for you. And I believe that when I'm faithful to you, that you are faithful to us and you are faithful to my marriage and you will be faithful to me and to my obedience and my honoring my spouse. I feel like doing it for you, but I'm going to do it for him. Don't say that to him probably, but I'm doing this for Jesus right now. Toxic teamwork says, if you do, then I will. The tearaway, here's your tearaway. Because he did, I will. Something that makes this easy is understanding roles. Ephesians 5 is really clear about roles in marriage. And most sermons start in Ephesians 5:22. Most sermons from this passage start right here. Here's where it goes. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's where the sermon starts. All the men go, yeah, preach! Woo! You have to realize that this is, you know, in your Bible, mine, it says wives and husbands. And then verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. But let's back up and let's catch the thought that Paul is actually talking about. Starting in verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Listen, the water all around you is poison, you little starfish. The world that you're living in is poison. The days are evil. Make the best use of the time. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish. Don't be a dummy. Understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul's going, the days are evil. Pay attention to what you're doing. The days are evil. Don't be foolish. Do what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Hello? Nobody amen to don't get drunk? Okay, that's the kind of church we got. I feel you. Okay. Verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When was the last time, like, your kid was just skipping around psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? When was the last time you did that? Probably don't skip like that, but whatever. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another. A what? Oh, you didn't know there was stuff before verse 22, did you, sir? Submitting to one another. Why? So you can have a healthy marriage? No. Is that a byproduct? You better believe it. But you submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because you're so thankful to him. You are so honored that he would invite you to the table. You submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he talks about what that looks like. Verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. You know, those two verses really fly in the face. Those are kind of like divisive scriptures in today's world. I don't need to submit. Submit to what? Women, let me tell you this. Scripture says that God made you as a helper for the man. And it's real quiet. But let me tell you this. I think that thought, that idea has been abused for way too long. Because that word is used, that word help is used 21 times in the Old Testament, okay? 18 of those times, it is God doing something for the nation of Israel that they could not do for themselves. So if God describes himself this way, we often think of help and through different areas, we've made help to feel like second class. We've made it to feel like not as good so you can just be the helper. No, God describes himself with that same word. And God is not inferior. God is not incapable. Listen, husbands, God gave you a wife to do things that you were not capable of doing. God knew that you were not going to do well in this life by yourself. He's like, you guys will just blow everything up. You'll build cool stuff and then blow it up. And you need a woman to go, what are you doing? Husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Listen, why is this the case? Because there's got to be a tiebreaker at some point. But I believe this, that if you have a healthy relationship, I have talked with people who the man has said, I've never had to be the tiebreaker. Because we have approached everything in prayer together and God spoke to both of us and we made the same decision every time. So men, be careful if you start going, well, I'm the head of the house, so we're doing it this way. Maybe you need to check your heart. Why are you wanting it to do it that way? Is it an authority issue? Is it a control issue? Are you trying to flex on somebody because you're getting beat down at work? I'm a guy, so I can talk like that to the men. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know who has the harder job? Husbands, you got to be Jesus. Pastor Levi said it this way. He's like, wives, you get to be the church, and the church has done all kinds of crazy stuff. Jesus has been perfect forever. I'm just being the church today. You are Jesus. You don't get to do that, husbands. And let me tell you this. Jesus loves the church. The church has absolutely done heinous and terrible things in the name of God. The Spanish Inquisition, the Crusades, Salem witch trials, all kinds of things that the church has done in the name of God that I don't believe fall into the character of God. But Jesus never stopped loving the church. He loves the church because of her position and not her performance. He loves the church because she is the church and he married her, not because of how she is performing that particular day. Husbands, you love your wife because of her position and not because of her performance. Because the minute you took that vow and walked down that aisle, she became the one for you. Oh, I'm preaching good. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I will. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. 27, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle. Do you see how Paul seamlessly transitioned to talking about the church here? Friends, your marriage should be a picture of the church. It should be a picture of God's relationship with the church. Our marriages are one of the greatest preachers of the gospel that exists. She might be holy and without blemish. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. When you're loving your wife poorly, you're loving yourself poorly. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Toxic teamwork says, if you do, then I will. You're tearaway. Because he did, I will. Second way that we can get some bacteria in our lives is toxic talk. Some of you guys just need to control your tongue, Holmes. James says that your tongue is like a spark that sets a forest on fire. James says your tongue is a tiny thing. It's like a rudder on a massive ship that determines the direction. If your marriage is heading in a direction you don't like, maybe check your tongue because James says it's the rudder. Toxic talk goes like this, speech dictated by the moment. Say things in the heat that we didn't really mean to say, but we haven't learned to control our tongues. We haven't learned to control our outbursts, to control our emotions. So toxic talk is this. You're gonna poison yourself if your speech is dictated by the moment. Here's the tearaway. Speech is dictated by eternity. Colossians 3:17 says this. Let me flip there. In whatever you do, in word or deed, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let me ask you this question. I raised it at the very end last week, but I'm going to ask it again. When you're in the moment And the toxic talk goes, it's dictated by the moment, it's dictated by emotion, it's dictated by what's happening right now. You're tear away. You tear away from that toxic body, that toxic thing that is constantly speaking in the moment. Your tear away is when your speech is determined by eternity. Ask yourself this question. What I'm about to say, can I say it in the name of Jesus? The way I react right now. The words that I want to say, the words that I want to lob out there. Scripture says that our words also are seeds, that we are sowing seed when we're talking. Ask yourself this question. It's very simple. Pause and go, can I say this in the name of Jesus? You are the worst thing that's ever happened to me in the name of Jesus. It doesn't work. I can't believe that I've thrown away 10 years on you in the name of Jesus. I can't take this anymore. I'm out in the name of Jesus. Those things don't work. In Paul here in Colossians, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, not on Sundays, whatever you do, whenever you do it, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Ask yourself this question. Maybe some of you need to write it down. Maybe it needs to go as the screensaver on your iPad. Maybe it's got to be on your mirror. It's got to be on your dashboard, whatever. Can what I'm about to say or do be done in the name of Jesus? It's a heart check. Here's another way to ask it. Does what I'm about to say or do look like the cross? Does it look like Jesus with arms outstretched in forgiveness to all of humanity? Does what I'm about to say look like the cross? Because if it doesn't, chances are high you should keep it in your pocket. Last one, toxic time. I know probably some of the pushback that is going on here, and you're thinking about all the time. You're thinking about, hey, if I'm gonna have a good marriage, I gotta spend time. I gotta invest time. It's gonna take me some time to learn. It's gonna take me some time to learn how to control my tongue. It's gonna take me some time to work as a team. Start pushing back and you think about all the things that are already currently in your schedule. You know that you should, because you know when I start talking about time, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you that you need a date night. You already know that. That's what I'm going to tell you. You need a date night. I'm going to tell you that you need to carve out some time for your spouse each day. And you look up at me and you go, you've been married for 4 months, don't even have any kids. What are you talking about? Be married for 10 years and get 3 kids and then tell me about time. Listen, I'll tell you how you spell the word priority, T-I-M-E. Show me your schedule and I'll show you your priorities. Toxic time says this, my schedule is already too busy. Some of you are thinking, carve out time for a date night? Are you kidding me? You don't know my schedule. Thinking, you're looking around the room as I'm talking about carving out time and spending time and dedicating and devoting time to your spouse. You're thinking about all the things you got to do with your kids. You're thinking about that new project you just took at work. Listen, you have the same 24 hours in the day that everybody else in the history of the world has ever had. I'm not saying you're not busy. I'm saying maybe your priorities are out of whack. You have the same amount of time as Benjamin Franklin. You have the same amount of time as Abraham Lincoln. You have the same amount of time as insert great person in history here. You have the same exact amount of time in your day as they did. The people that you look up to and you look at their marriage and you say, man, that is a great marriage. I would love to have that. They have literally the same 24 hours in their day that you have. But I bet if you look at their schedule, it looks a little different. Hey, and this is a hard word. Because it means that some of you are going to have to go home and instead of just sitting and listening and going, oh, that felt good, you're going to have to do stuff. Scripture tells us, let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Toxic Time says, my schedule is already too busy, but here's your tearaway. I'm going to be honest about my priorities and change them. Some of you need to go have a real honest conversation with yourself. We got some husbands in the room who you know that you are not honoring your family. And you probably have all kinds of reasons. And you probably have all kinds of good reasons. And you're in a difficult situation in life. And maybe you're behind on some bills, and so you're trying to catch extra hours. I'm not trying to pretend that everybody in this room has all the time to give away in the world. I'm just saying there's probably some things in your life that you could cut out that you are currently prioritizing over your marriage. Hear this. As I say this, there's no condemnation in this church. There's no condemnation. Maybe you find yourself in the scenario you're in because you're a product of the water that's around you. You're like that starfish who has just been chilling, and you've been taking things in, and it's got you to this place to where there's just poison there. I pray that these tearaways that you can do the hard work to tear away from the bacteria-riddled relationship that it is. Because let me tell you this. Let's stand, and we're going to pray. I'm going to close with this thought. Music team, join us. This is something interesting about this phenomenon that these scientists are discovering. These scientists are seeing that as these arms are tearing away and crawling away, that over time, they are literally growing new bodies. They are starting to grow in mass, and they're sprouting new arms. And what once was a toxic, bacteria-riddled starfish, since one of those arms teared away, since one of them did that, it has the capacity and it has the ability to grow a brand new, healthy body. And that's what I'm praying for your marriages, church. I'm praying that as you do the work and as you take the steps necessary, that it is not by might and not by power, but by the Spirit of God, that the might and the power may be outside of your reach and outside of your stretch and maybe too much for you to handle. But we have a promise that God said, when you fight these things, it's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by what you are capable of. But I am going to put my Spirit on what you're doing. And because my Spirit is in it, you are capable to do anything. With God, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And you may be looking at a toxic, you may be looking at a poison starfish right now. But I believe this by the Spirit of God, that you can determine, you can walk out of here, and you can determine to implement these tearaways. And I believe God meets you in that faithfulness, and He meets you in that faithful space. And you just watch as you tear that away, and God begins to grow a brand new body where a toxic bacteria riddled one had been before. You watch as God, He is faithful to do it, church. He is faithful to do it. See that He won't. My friend Jamie says that all the time. See that He won't. God is faithful, church. God is for you, and He is in your corner. Can we bow our heads? Let's pray.